That's what made me an independent Baptist. No highball bishop is going to tell this God-called little country boy what he can preach and what he can't. They may run their laity, but they won't run this laity. And you take the great preachers all down through years that God used. Boy, you couldn't tell Billy Sunday what to preach. You couldn't tell John. You couldn't tell Spurgeon what to preach. You couldn't tell Moody what to preach. You couldn't tell Oliver Green what to preach. You couldn't tell Sam Jones what to preach. But this little bunch of galvanized, petrified, aim at nothing, gospel dodging, corner cutting, read out of a Bible that'll suit everybody. And when the Bible says no man can serve two masters, you can't serve God. You can't please God and man at the same time. But this crowd today, they want the laity to run them. I'm going to tell you, or a preacher, that another preacher can dictate to and run, and any preacher that deacons can run, he ain't worth his salt, and I know ain't right. But any preacher that a bunch of church members or henpecked husbands or long-tongued women or any man that a church can run and tell him what to preach and what he can't, he's not worth the money it takes to run him out of town. Nicolaitans, they run the laity. Well, they don't run this little buddy. No, sir. If it's not in that book, don't you come around here telling me about it. And you high-browed scholars and professors, don't you come around here telling me about no book inspired, no book preserved, that we do not have the Word of God. When God Almighty said before he left this earth, when the Spirit of God's come, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by God. That's how we got this Bible. And that's how God's preserved it. If you want to read something else in the 16th chapter and verse 15, Bible says, all things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said, he that will shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. God said he preserved the Word of God in Psalm 12. Now I'm going to wind up all this. When God said all Scripture, you have a copy, and it's inspired of God, preserved of God, perfect. And that great falling away in 2 Timothy, and I'm winding down. Turn to 2 Timothy. I'm going to wind this down today. And if my watch is correct, and I can see it, it's 20 minutes until 12. Is that correct? Now, I was at the hospital a little after 5 o'clock this morning. So don't talk to me about being sleepy. And I was not over at medical college. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What started all of this was when Paul said there'll be a great falling away. Not a falling away of doctrine. Not a falling away from the virgin birth and all of that, as Dr. Schofield tries to nail it down. But I've already dealt with this, but in summation, 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says in verse 6-7, they'd ever learn and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In chapter 4 and verse 4, 2 Timothy 4:4, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, write it down. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 16, Peter said, we have not followed after cunningly devised fables. Now, since 2 Timothy 3 is telling Paul, is telling Timothy, you hold fast, in verse 15, the Holy Scriptures. In verse 14, Timothy, you continue in the things that you've learned. In verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, preach the Word. Timothy is warned against falling away from the Bible, from Scripture. The apostasy is the falling away from what thus saith God. And the fables that Paul talks about in chapter 3 and chapter 4, how they ever learn and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is truth? Thy word is true. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy word, O Lord, thy word is true. Psalmist said, God has magnified his word above the name of Jesus. So when the Bible says they ever learn and they'll teach fables, you know what the fables are? The fables, when they fall away from the Bible, here are the fables. Well, we are constantly finding new manuscripts that warrant the updating of the Bible. We're going to change the Scriptures so that you can more easily understand it. We're going to put the language of the Bible in common, everyday language so men can better grasp it. Have you ever heard any of those fables? You ever heard any of those fables? Those are the fables. The great falling away in the book of Timothy is a falling away from Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. And in 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Isaiah's not on the scene. And if I had Isaiah's original manuscript, which does not exist, but if I had Isaiah's original manuscript, it wouldn't do me a bit of good because I cannot speak Hebrew. If I had John's book of Revelation in its original form, which there are none, I could not understand it. It's written in Greek. But when God said all Scripture, when it's translated, copied, preserved, a perfect, more sure word, and I'm born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. That book is called incorruptible. He says the grass will wither, the flower will fade away. The word of the Lord endured forever. And when God said his word settled once and for all in heaven, and that word that was in the beginning became flesh in the New Testament and dwelt among us, and now have the word of God, which Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God didn't give Paul something that he didn't give us in 1997. And there are preachers in Bible schools today that would have you to believe that it would have been better for you to have lived in John the Baptist's day than today. I'm here to tell you, in John the Baptist's day, he didn't have the complete word of God. He didn't have the finished word of God. He didn't have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of God was not completed. God had not finished it. And God wouldn't have given Paul and Peter and John something that he wouldn't give us. And there are preachers who'd have you to believe that God loved them. They had the originals. What about poor little Christian people in 1997? We have the same Scripture preserved without error. All Scripture is given the inspiration of God. I can read the very words that Paul spoke and Isaiah spoke and Moses spoke. I can read the very words preserved by God, inspired of God. God breathed, God kept, tried in fire 7 times right here, Word of God. Yeah. Now you little smart aleck guys up in these colleges trying to impress Bible students, you know the only way that a Bible professor or preacher can make you believe he's smarter than you is by telling you something like this. Now in the original Greek, they don't pull that stuff on me. I say, now do you read Greek? Well, I'll read a little bit. I said, well, let's get the old Bible right here. He says, well, now in the original, I said, I don't care what the original says. I got a copy of the original in English right here. Got it right here. 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Got something more sure? And if Elijah walked up here, Moses walked up here, I got it, finished. And God says, woe to him that adds to, or takes away from the prophecy of this book. And when the Bible says, it's a book tried 7 times on earth, you know that's another message. But in Revelation, it's called a seven-seal book. And I wonder why that every King James Bible you pick up has 7 seals around it. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And why the King James Bible is the only Bible that's called authorized, and it's the only Bible called holy. And it's a language. Oh, my soul. Our Father, for this book, we're grateful for the words within it. It's life. It's this book that's changed us. It's this book that has given us new birth. It's this book that are the words of Jesus in written form, preserved by God, as God down through the centuries preserved it, inspired from one generation, kept from one generation to another. And Lord, we thank you today that we do have a God-breathed, God-preserved, inspired book. We thank you, dear Lord, this word is true, and it has life. We thank you for its context, and I pray that people today have learned, as we've tried to teach them, what our Bible students are not getting in Bible colleges, and what our future preachers are not getting in seminaries today. And all a student has to do in 98% of all Christian schools, Bible colleges, seminaries, 98%, all of them, when they get there, their first semester, their Bible is attacked by men who ever learn but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, my grandma knew more about the Bible than professors sitting in seminaries today. My grandma knew it was the Word of God, and that's more than college professors do. And God, as your Word says, brethren, think not above what's written. If it's in the Bible, believe it. If it's not, don't believe it. And men ever learn, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For a man to believe this is the book that God wrote and preserved, he has to believe. And God does not reward smart alecks. God does not reward men who think they are smarter than God. Now, dear Lord, I don't think I have to worry. In fact, I know I don't have to worry. But I pray for any in this church today that might get a little too big for their britches. Just get a little too smart for their intellect. Don't ever let people get so smart that they think they know more than God. And help us, our Father, just to have enough sense to believe what God said. God said it, I believe it, and that doesn't settle it because I believe it. It's settled whether Bill Reese believes it or not. It's settled. For the truth of your book, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. He's worthy. Amen. Amen. I want us to stand. We're going to sing a verse.